Good morning, church. You guys good? That is so good. I am so honored to be able to share the word with you guys today. Pastor Jeff is away in Thailand, and so you guys are getting the third best option today, the third best. And you're probably wondering, who is number two? Well, that's next week, Pastor Beth. And so that's going to be really good, so you guys want to be excited for that. Before we get into the word, everybody say two. I have two rules for you. Number one, are you ready for this? I really believe that God has given you an incredible voice, and I want you to use it today. You see, this isn't just a small group room. We are in Big C Capital Church this morning. And so we're not in a living room where you have a nice fire, an incredible cup of coffee, but we are in church today. And so I believe that God has given you an incredible voice. And in the book of James, this is in the New Testament, Jesus's brother writes that your tongue, every word that you speak, is either life or death. Every word that you speak is either life or death. And I believe that I want us to be a church that is speaking life. And so today, when I'm preaching and I share something that you're like, yes, amen, I want that, I see that, I encourage you, I want you to be able to say, yes, come on, that's good. Amen. Can we do that? I want you guys to be active, to use your words to speak life today. Everybody say two. This is the second one. I encourage you guys to take notes. I really believe that note takers go to heaven, okay? I believe that. As long as you love Jesus, accept him as your Lord and Savior, you know, but I'm sure there's some note takers in heaven. I truly believe that. And so I encourage you guys to take notes. So parents, I ask, will you please let your student pull out their phone today in church? And the deal is they just have to put it in airplane mode. And I encourage you guys to take notes. If you've never taken notes before, let today be the day. All right? Are we good? I am so honored to share this word with you guys today. If you guys have your Bibles, we are going to be going to Luke chapter 5. The Bible's broken up into the Old Testament, the New Testament, and we are going to be reading from Dr. Luke. Luke was one of Jesus' disciples, and the Gospels is just Jesus' disciples sharing their view, their interpretation of the life of Jesus when he was on earth. And so we're going to be reading from the New Testament in Luke chapter 5. And church, this is a side note. This has nothing to do with my message. This is my new Bible, okay? And I don't just read this thing now. I sniff it because I know that's weird, okay? But it's genuine leather, okay? It smells nice. And I'm weird. I've spoken. I think this is the first time that I've actually, like, preached this translation before. And I'm just so excited this past month that I've been, like, speaking. But I don't... And I bring this thing, but I'm reading from another Bible. I just love this thing, so I'm really excited to be able to read from you guys from this brand new word, okay? Luke chapter 5, we are going to be reading this. So when you are there, you can say holla if you are old school and you have a written word. And for all of those who are lazy and you don't have a Bible, we got it for you on the screen, okay? I love you. I'm here for you. It's on the screen. So Luke chapter 5, verse 17, give me a holler when you are there. So good. Luke chapter 5, verse 17, this is what it says. On one of those days, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. I believe that same power is here this morning. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed. And they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. If you're into marking up your Bibles, I encourage you to tap that screen, highlight that verse, verse 19. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, why do you question in your hearts? which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been laying on and went home, glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God, and they were filled with awe, saying, we have seen extraordinary things today. Church, I believe that we can see the extraordinary today. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this opportunity to share your word, God. Every time we share your word, it's an opportunity to hear you, to encounter you, to see you. And Lord, I just pray that you help me speak with clarity, with confidence, Father, but most importantly, Jesus, will you get the glory? It's about you. It's all about you. And I just pray blessing upon right now for our pastor, God, wherever he is, whatever he's doing. I just pray your favor and blessing upon him. I pray that you give him fresh vision, fresh refreshment, God. And he just comes back so excited to share the good news of you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Everybody said, amen. Does anyone, this is confession time. How many of you guys suffer from FOMO? And for those of you who do not know what it is, that is fear of missing out, okay? Quick show of hands. I'm going to be honest. That's me. I have FOMO. Nobody can have fun unless I'm there, okay? I need to be there. I want to laugh too, okay? And I have this FOMO. And this is real. This is fresh for me. But next month, my incredible wife, Malaya, she's leaving me to do travel nursing in Halifax. And she's leaving me next month to do travel nursing in Halifax, and I'm going to have some serious FOMO, okay? This is a side note, nothing to do with the message. Your boy can't cook, okay? And so next month, I'm free. If you guys want to invite me over every night, I'm here. If you guys want to make me food, I love plantain. Osa Seres, you guys know. I'm depending on you. And so I need a belly. I don't want to get smaller. I need to grow. And so next month, you know, Pastor Jeff's like, you can't manipulate the church. I'm like, yeah, but Pastor Jeff, I just know how to barbecue and cereal. Okay, so anyways, let's get into this, okay? My wife's leaving next month to go to Halifax, and to be honest, I'm really bummed by that. I am missing out, okay? She gets to go to Halifax. She gets to go by the ocean, have this amazing seafood, and just have so much fun. She's bringing her bike. She's going with her friend. She's going to have so much fun. Meanwhile, me, next month, you know what I'm doing? I'm going to camp, and I'm going to be sleeping on a floor in a hot room with a bunch of senior high boys, and I don't know if they're going to shower. I don't know if they're going to wear deodorant. I'm going to be suffering, and she's going to be having fun, okay? I'm going to be missing out. In church, I believe that we as a church have something to offer. I believe that so many people that we interact with on a daily basis, they are missing out. You see, I believe that we as a church hold on to someone. We know someone. We don't hold on to a thing. We hold on to a person. And his name is Jesus. And I believe that of many people that we interact with, they are missing out. They're missing out. You see, the person that is making your coffee in the morning, they need Jesus. The person that, the parent that is on your kid's soccer team, they need Jesus. Your coworkers, your neighbors, they need Jesus. And I've gotten to this point in my life where I realize that I don't have all the answers. I can't do certain things. I can't fix every situation, but I know someone who does. I know someone who does. And this has become so real to me that just with interactions and people that I connect with. As many of you know, some of you, I do jiu-jitsu 3 times a week. Come at me, bro. Come at me. And 3 times a week I do jiu-jitsu. And there was this one morning a few months ago where I had a 6 a.m. class, and this guy comes in who I haven't seen in a while. Like, he never comes to the 6 a.m. class. And I'm like, dude, why are you here this morning? Like, we never get blessed by your presence. And he said, dude, I just couldn't sleep last night. And so I was already up, and I said, I just need to come. And I'm like, man, that really sucks. Like, why were you up so late? And he's just like, my marriage, man, it's really tough right now. And he's like, I'm afraid that we're going to be like those stats. We're going to be like that 50%. And it broke my heart because there was something that's something that I deeply, deeply care about. And I told him, and I looked at him, I said, dude, you are not a stat. You are not a stat. And then people started coming in, and so the conversation died. But this thought, what he said, has just really stuck with me. So I go to the office, and I just start praying. And I'm just like, man, like, God, this needs to change. So I just happened to get his number, like, a few weeks ago. God was orchestrating this. And I get his number just a few weeks ago. I text him, and I said, hey, dude, I know we don't really know each other that well, but I've been really thinking about what you said, and I just want you to know that I'm praying for you. And I want you to know that I believe that you're more than a stat. And I told him that I don't have all the answers, but I'm willing to listen. And if you want to grab coffee, I'd love to do that. So he agreed to it. So we grab coffee, and then I find out that he's a therapist. And I'm like, well, there goes one of the solutions I had, you know? And so I'm listening to this guy. I'm listening to him. He's talking to me. And then it's revealed what I find out. This is a serious moment here. I find out that his son is having he is celebrating his seventh birthday, his seventh year on earth. His birthday, he's turning 7 years old the following month. And that was the last time him and his wife were intimate together. 7 years ago. Friends, I'm going to suffer with 1 month, okay? This is 7 years. 7 years. And I find out that they have been sleeping in separate rooms. I find out that he's looking at buying a separate home so they don't have to go through divorce, but they could still be married but live in separate homes. And I'm broken. I'm devastated. I'm listening to this guy, and I'm like, I have no idea what to say. And all I can think about, I'm praying, I am listening to him, and I just say, God, would you just give me the words to speak? Tell me what to say, because I have no idea. And I just encouraged him. I said, dude, I'm praying for you, and I believe there's hope. I believe you're not a stat. And I just began sharing scripture and began talking with him. Friends, people are missing out. People are missing out. One more story, and then we're going to get into this. This past week, I'm grabbing coffee with another individual. And every time I talk with this guy, there just seems to be another job that he's pursuing, another hobby that he is interested, another thing that he keeps on going from thing to thing, job to job, person to person. And as I'm listening to him talk about this new job that he's thinking about pursuing, I just wanted to scream. I wanted to scream I was in my head, and I'm like, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. And I think that a lot of this individual, he keeps trying to fill this void that is unfillable, because it's only meant to be filled by Jesus. He is the only one that can fill that void. And church, I want to talk to you today about the invitation. Because there's a lot of people missing out on something that we have to offer. And the only solution that I have is that we need to invite them to Jesus. I'm not talking church, just bring them to Jesus. And so I want to invite you on this journey with me as we study this text, and that we would buy into this culture of the invitation. We would be a group of people who are committed to the invitation. Are you with me? All right, before we do that, you need to know some background context here. This is really, really important here, okay? This is the New Testament. This is Jesus on earth in this story right here. Jesus is just beginning his ministry. He was baptized. He had already went through the desert season. And he, in this passage, we see in Luke chapter 5 that he just had his main disciple, Peter, joined him, okay? This same story is also mentioned in Mark chapter 2, but we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 5. Jesus is in his home in Capernaum, and there's all these people who are flocking to see Jesus. They hear of his teachings. They hear of his healings. Word is getting out that this guy knows how to preach, and this guy knows how to heal. And so people are drawing to him. And the Pharisees and the teachers, they're waiting and watching. They're waiting to see Jesus slip. They're so focused on trying to disqualify Jesus that they're missing out on the opportunity to experience Jesus. And this brings us to this part, point number one, where we see of these four dudes who heard about Jesus. So everybody say one. Point number one, if you're into taking notes, if we want to be a people who are committed to the invitation, we have to say, I'm gonna bring. I'm gonna bring. Wow, you guys are saying it. That's incredible, okay? Point number one, I'm going to bring. You see, these four guys, they hear about Jesus. They heard that Jesus is coming to town. And in verse 18, we see, and behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, that they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. They heard that Jesus was in town. They had no plan. They're just like, I just need to bring this dude to Jesus. Mark chapter 2 says that there were four men, four friends, decided to bring this man to Jesus. And church, if we want to be focused on the invitation, we have to say, I'm gonna bring. And we don't have to have the agenda, but when we hear of people who are paralyzed, who are going through difficult situations, we have to be committed to saying, I'm gonna bring. And my challenge, I think, and I question and I wonder how many of us even surround ourselves with people who need to be brought to Jesus. You see, we have junior high Sunday typically throughout the whole year from the fall to the summer. And last week was one of the first times that I was able to kind of experience service. And I'm listening to Pastor Jeff's incredible teaching. And we get to this part of the service where he does a salvation call. Now this is the part of the service where Pastor Jeff or preachers will give the opportunity for people to make that decision to follow Jesus. And I'm like, wow, this was such a great word Pastor preached. It was awesome. The Spirit was there. The worship was great. And he does this salvation call. And I'm just gonna say it what it was. It was awkward. Okay? I felt the awkwardness, the tension in the room, because I don't know, but it didn't seem like anyone kind of made that decision to follow Jesus. I don't know people's hearts, okay? Correct me if I'm wrong. But I felt awkward, and in that moment, I was reflecting, and I'm like, Pastor Jeff's preaching is gospel-focused. I know he listens to Holy Spirit. I know it speaks. I know the worship team is absolutely amazing. I know that the Spirit was here. People were hungry. So why? And it came to my attention, and I felt so challenged. I felt God speak, who did I bring? Who did I bring that does not yet know Jesus? Who is the person that I've brought that needs to hear this message, that needs to respond? Who is the person that I know that is sick, that is paralyzed, that is going through difficult situations, that needs to be brought to Jesus? I felt so challenged by that. In church, my challenge for you, would you join me in this invitational culture? Be committed to the invitation, that we don't want people to miss out, that we would pack these pews with people who need to experience Jesus. And in order to do that, we have to be intentional. We have to be intentional. And a few weeks ago, we were having our end of the year youth barbecue, and we were at one of our former leaders' house, and I saw that they had a planter box outside, okay? Now, I thought that was really weird, okay? And they had a planter box outside, and I'm like, what's up with the planter box? Like, you're growing vegetables outside, like, right on your front lawn, you know? That's kind of odd. And it was revealed to me that they wanted to be intentional. They wanted to have it outside in the front so that they could connect with their neighbors, so that they could build relationships, so that as they're outside building, collecting their vegetables, they can interact with their neighbors. They were being intentional. And friends, my challenge for you is that if you want to be committed to the invitation, you have to be intentional. You have to be rubbing shoulders. You have to be surrounding yourselves with not just your neighbors, but those you work with, those you connect with on a daily basis, the people at the pump when you're filling up your gas, just connecting with them, being intentional, surrounding ourselves with those who feel paralyzed, who are going through difficult situations. If we have to be able to say, I'm gonna bring. Amen? So number one, I'm gonna bring. Number two, I'm gonna climb. I'm gonna climb. See these, so in verse 19, we see, but finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And so at this time, I want to invite CPC's four strongest men, and I want to invite you guys to stand. Yeah, you know who it is. Gerard, Jojo, Bethuel, Isaiah, come to the front here. Come to the front. Give it up for the strongest men at CPC. Strongest men. So these guys, okay, they hear about their friend. They're like, we just need to bring him to Jesus. He has been going through difficult situations. We know we don't have the answer. We just need to bring him to Jesus. And so they bring him to Jesus, where he's teaching, where he's preaching, and they see that the place is packed, okay? There's a huge crowd, the Bible says, and they couldn't find any way. And so these guys decide to get creative. And what they did, I trust you. I trust you. See, I was smart with, before you lift me, I'm not ready. I was smart with this. I had it on stage already. I didn't trust them to bring it up on the stage, okay? And so they had this moment, the friends, okay? They're like, we need to bring him to Jesus, okay? And they're like, we need to climb on top of this roof. And so the four friends pick up the bed where their paralyzed friend was at. Oh, yeah, this is good. Oh, baby. You're strong. They're carrying the weight of their friend. And you see, the person that was paralyzed, he wasn't doing much. Oh my gosh. He wasn't doing... Why are you guys getting higher? They were carrying the weight of their friend, climbing on top of this roof, saying, we just need to bring him to Jesus. The paralyzed guy couldn't do anything. He was trusting their friend. He doesn't even know what's happening. They're climbing on top of the roof, carrying the weight, carrying every burden that this person has, because they knew the cause. They were committed to the invitation, knowing that this person couldn't miss out. And they lowered him. Give it up for these guys. Carrying the weight. They were carrying the weight of their friend. And people, if we want to be committed to the invitation, we have to be able to say, I'm going to climb. I'm willing to carry the weight. I'm willing to walk through them. And I think, church, that there are four different people in this story that we see. The goal is Jesus. Person number one was Jesus. That was the goal. That was the main person that we wanted to go and see. We also see number two, the paralyzed man. We see the paralyzed man, and he had a need. And then we see two other individuals. We see the friends who were carrying the weight, and we see the Pharisees and the teachers. And we get two different responses in this. You see, the Pharisees and the teachers, they were so focused on Jesus that they missed out on the person that needed care. And I think there's a lot of us who are quick to criticize, quick to critique, but slow to care. We're quick to criticize, saying, I didn't like the haze, I didn't wish we played that song, I didn't really like the way the preacher said that. And yet there's people who are sick, who are coming for the first time, and they need care. A lot of us are quick to critique, but slow to care. And when we are committed to the invitation, we have to say, I'm going to climb. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to care for the people who feel paralyzed, who feel crippled, who need Jesus. I'm going to climb. Church, I want to invite you to be the type of people that are going to be coaches, not critics. We're going to be committed to caring. So number one, I'm going to bring. Number two, I'm going to climb. And number three, I'm going to celebrate. I love this part right here, because in this story, we see that it was the four friends that heard about Jesus. It was the four friends that climbed on top of the roof for their friend, lowered it. They did all the work. And in verse 24, Jesus says, he said to the man who was paralyzed. So Jesus was speaking to the man who was paralyzed. Jesus says, to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home. And go home. The friends did all the work, but yet it was the person that was sick that received the blessing. You see, a lot of us want to do a lot of work. We serve, we volunteer, we do all these things, but it's not about the recognition we receive. We do it for those who are sick. We do it for those who need Jesus. In church, I want to invite you to be the type of people that when we're committed to the invitation, it's not about what we get, but it's about what we can give. It's not about what we get. It's not about the recognition. We do it because we understand that we have something to offer. Those who are sick, those who feel paralyzed, they need Jesus. We need to be able to give them Jesus. It's not about what we get. It's about what we can give. Amen? I want to invite the worship team up at this time. We're going to wrap. We're landing the plane. We're almost done here. But church, I want to invite you to be the type of people that say, I'm going to bring, I'm going to climb, and I'm going to celebrate. Malai and I have these friends that we have been connecting with over the years, and we pray for them all the time. And we have been connecting with them. We have gone camping with them. We have gone to birthdays and celebrations for them and with them. And this just almost a year ago, we were at a wedding. And These people do not yet know Jesus. And I noticed that they weren't drinking. They weren't drinking at all. And so the person that I am, and I sometimes have these no-filter moments, I said, are you expecting? And that wasn't the wisest moment, you know, but I thought we had a good relationship. And it was revealed to us that they are trying, but they haven't been able to have a child yet. They've been working on it, and they just haven't been able to have a child. And so I told them in that moment, I said, I need you to know something. All throughout Scripture, this is a common miracle that God does. We see Hannah. The Bible says that her womb was closed, but yet when she prayed, God opened it, and they were able to have Samuel. This is a common miracle that God is able to work through. And so I told her, I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to be praying for you. And so a couple months ago, we were at a party together, and I saw them, and I said, how's it going? No filter moment again. I said, how's it going? And they said, you know what, we're still trying. And they said, it's really hard because we see all these other people who are able to have kids, and we've been trying, we just haven't been able to. And so I told them, I'm going to continue praying. And so I texted them the next day, and I said, I'm praying for you right now, believing. These people do not yet know Jesus. We're continually praying for them. But a few weeks ago, I texted them, and I said, hey, I just want you to know that I'm praying for you right now, but I felt led from God just to text them and be like, just check in on them, see how it's going. And so I texted them, and then she says, Nick, you can't tell anyone this, but we're expecting. And they sent me... They sent me this picture of the announcement they're going to make soon, and they said, we haven't told anyone, but... They sent that, and I was celebrating, I was excited, and I said, I'm not going to tell anyone, but here I am telling my church. It's good. I'm praying and I'm believing that they're going to come to know Jesus one day. They are on our prayer list. We're believing that God is going to use this, but I'm just planting seeds. God's watering it. I'm just planting the seeds. I'm just doing my part of just planting those seeds, letting them know that Jesus is there. I'm just trying to bring them to Jesus, and I'm willing to carry their burdens, walk with them, and climb with them, and let them know, because I want to celebrate. I'm celebrating because that's what's important, friends. That's the goal. That's the focus. But before we do this, I have to do something that's probably the most important thing about preaching, the most important thing. And I want to invite some of you to join Team Jesus. I want to give you this opportunity to be a part of Team Jesus. You see, a lot of times when we talk about Jesus, we present him as this lovesick boyfriend, totally obsessed with us. He loves you so much. He's willing to do whatever it takes. He loves you. He wants you. And that's true. That's totally true. But there's something else that he also is, and that is holy. Jesus is holy. Jesus is Lord. And it's because of his holiness. It's because he walked on this earth sinless, never sinned. But he paid our debt. He paid our debt. And he was the only one able to do that. You see, we have this thing called sin. It is this debt. It is this thing that is preventing us from being close to Jesus, from being close with God, having this relationship with him. But because Jesus is sinless, Son of God, he was crucified, and 3 days later, he was risen again. And because of that, if you are willing to accept him and follow him and believe that you can be forgiven of your sins, you can be Team Jesus. You can be a part of that, and you can have relationship with him. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this word. God, again, I pray, would you fill us with your spirit? Would you give us courage and boldness to go out, Father, and declare that you are Lord? I pray blessing upon every person here today, Jesus. Would you let them know that they're loved, that they're called Lord, and their story hasn't finished yet? We pray this in your name, Jesus. Everybody said, amen.